Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Regular Legislative Meeting, Part 2 of 3 Parts, April 12, 2016.
I'm going to go next into the matrix. What we do is we identify all the issues in all the buildings, and we put those together in a spreadsheet. We rank all those problems on this 1 to 5 scale. And the 1 to 5 scale is really related to time, 5 being the most critical, something that you should address right away, and 1 being something you should have in your 5 to 10 year program. So this is really a tool that the facilities department uses to plan out projects. You can sort the information in a spreadsheet so that you can look at the information however you want to put it together and come up with a plan of how to address all these issues. This is an example of that spreadsheet. It's probably about 12 pages long. It captures all the issues that we identified in the facilities report and identifies them with the tag over here, the description, and then the priority. So this is a very useful tool to quickly look at all the information and make some big decisions about what to do. First part of this was looking at the facilities. The second part is looking at the program. We did meet with your administrators, we met with the principals of both Elkins Park and High School. Those were the two buildings where the program issues were critical. The program at the elementary schools is in great shape. Those buildings were built to facilitate your educational program. Whereas the others, you're operating in an old building with a new 21st century curriculum. And so that doesn't always mesh very well. For each of the buildings, there's a report of the issues that we discussed with the principals. A couple of the key things that we heard at Elkins Park. Not all the space is accessible. They have issues with their curriculum where they can't put the kids everywhere that they want to. There's efficiencies that are lost because they have to manipulate where they put kids based on who can get into the spaces. That's a real detriment to an efficient building. They wanted to focus on STEM, and we'll see that again at the high school. And of course, safety and supervision. There's not a secure vestibule there as there is in the library. Other buildings, that would certainly be something to address. At the high school, one of the keys was flexibility. We want to have the spaces as flexible as possible, have simple classrooms that program could be easily interchanged between spaces, teachers can be interchanged between spaces, and not make rooms too specialized. Again, a focus on STEM, really want to advance that program and provide facilities that can do that. Again, your building isn't necessarily built for those programs, and how can we convert some of the spaces you have in the building programs. So looking at the facility needs and the program needs, we really say, okay, what do you do with it? We look at some options. And these are really just a starting point. We're going to go through several for Elkins Park and the high school. But this is just the first pass. We just want to go through them really quickly. Elkins Park, first option is to renovate the building. There's a lot of issues with it, and of course the natural question is going to be what's going to take to fix it. So this is really looking at just that for $46 million, which is a lot of money because there's a lot of issues you can renovate the building. Here's a site plan of it. The gray building is Elkins Park, and we're pretty much just saying, hey, fix as many of the problems we can in this building and fix the site issues. That's really option A. That probably doesn't address all of your issues. You can address a lot more of your problems if we look at replacing the building. And option B and C are going to do that. This is option B. The key here is $47 million. It's $1 million more than renovating the building, which is a key thing to keep in mind when we look at these schemes. And option B, the existing building is in pink and red, and we're talking about demolishing a portion of Elkins Park and constructing in white a new elementary school here. In option B, we renovate the old portion of the old building into a new administration building. We want to solve two problems with one solution. Both option B and C are going to look at that in two different ways. In this case, we saw a really good opportunity to use a portion of this building as a new district office. Option C, cost-wise, is very similar. It's $48 million. And that's really looking at it as an alternate solution for putting a new building on the site. This solution, we build the new building in white on the Southwood property. The existing building is here. That gets demolished. And we basically flip the site. We move the track from the bottom to the top. And in this scheme, we're building a brand new district administration building. Rather than renovating a portion of the old, we replace it entirely. Now, the high school, there's three schemes we're going to look at. The first two are renovation schemes. So most of your problems there can be solved with renovation. It's not as bad shape as Elkins Park. But the building is very large. We've broken down by color, which is related to plan, renovation levels. And each of those levels has a different cost value. So most of the money on these options is in the renovation costs. There is an addition associated with both of those to solve some of the programmatic issues. And the total for option A is $67 million. This is the lower level of the high school. The plan is color-coded. Each of these colored areas represents a renovation level, which ties back to the budget sheet so you can see where the dollars are going. We're renovating all the space. To some degree, all space needs some level of renovation. What is unique about this scheme is that the athletic area, we wanted to solve that pool problem. Right now the pool is here. We're proposing building a new pool at the front of the building with a shared entrance between that services the pool and the gym, and then reconstructing all the locker room back here to make it more accessible to everybody. We're converting the old pool into the new auxiliary gym. So that puts the pool at the front of the building. Option B is another renovation scheme. Cost-wise, it's very similar to option A. The big difference is what do we do with the pool. And in this situation, we're saying there's an opportunity to put the pool in the back, still renovating the area that it's at and converting that to the auxiliary gym. This is just another way to solve the problems. Obviously, when we look at renovating the building and the cost, the natural question is, if we're going to spend that much money, what does it cost to replace it? So we included in the study an option for that. If we replace the high school entirely, we're looking at $111 million. And there are solutions for that. Eric and I looked at several different ways to do this. There's a few viable schemes that are in the study. The one we're showing you tonight is putting the new building closer to Rice's Mill Road. The existing building is here in pink. We would demolish that, redo all the site work and stormwater, and renovate the fields. Now, with any of the renovation schemes for the high school or the new high school, there's also needs for the athletic fields. So we've broken out the budget and the work to reconstruct all the athletic fields, putting turf fields into the stadium, building a second turf field near the parking lot, and redoing the softball, baseball, and tennis courts. There's a budget in the study for that. And this option really works with A, B, or C of the high school. Here's a quick cheat sheet that puts it all together. I'll go through it real quick. Option A for Elkins Park is to renovate the building for $46 million. Option B and C are to replace the building. B is to reuse a portion of the building as a DAO, And option C is to replace the DAO with the Brady building in conjunction with the Compass Park new building. Cheltenham High School, there's three options here. A and B are renovation schemes. A is looking at putting the pool in the front of the building, and B is looking at putting the pool in the rear of the building. And to compare that, we're looking at option C to replace the building at 111. So the replacement building is about twice the cost of renovating it. And then in conjunction with that, to rebuild and reconstruct the fields, $8.6 million for the fields. That being said, there's one more part of the study which is critical to looking at how your entire district functions, and that's the workforce analysis. I'm going to give it to Eric, who's going to go through it.
Thanks, Ken. So the workforce analysis, what we did here is, Phil O'Connell from Nate Newell was a head of facilities for 20 years. He's an engineer. He's kind of taken a second part of his life. He's no longer a facilities guy, but he knows how to run them. What he did here is that he took information from ASBO that all the school districts in Pennsylvania have to provide a report to show how much you're spending on their buildings, how to maintain their buildings, and all those kind of costs. So it's all out there for anybody to go ahead and look at. So what we did was we were able to benchmark how we are, how Cheltenham's comparing to 39 other school districts in southeastern Pennsylvania. So this whole analysis is based on information that's given to the state, and we isolated the 39 school districts in southeastern Pennsylvania. So here's kind of like a stat sheet of Cheltenham, your student enrollment, how much we spend on utilities, how big our facilities are, and then this is the baseline of where we're going to see this analysis here for the workforce study. Some of these are just some key milestones to look at, but like the maintenance expenditure per square foot, Cheltenham's at $5.49. We're about normal. We're right in the middle of what you see all the other school districts in the area doing. That's a good sign. It's a good vital sign. It's understanding that we are spending the appropriate amount of money for our facilities compared to everybody else. You look at contract services per square foot for instructional space. We're spending 1 cent compared to the other schools are spending about 54 cents. So we're going to talk about this a little bit more later in this report, but you can see that we're well below the average of the other districts, something that we may consider in the analysis. The instructional square foot per facility, Chilean custodians are working 150% harder or covering more real estate than some of the other schools. So they're doing a great job. They're taxed for a little bit more work. It shows. It's a difficult job. Instructional square foot for buildings on ground, building and ground employees, they're working at 133% more than their counterparts over at Abington or up from or the other schools. So they're working very hard as well. So my hat off to Ray and the team for doing their job, giving the size of the school. Some other key measurements, instructional square foot for skilled buildings and trades, we're right within standards. Another good sign for us. Instructional square foot for facilities supervisors. Our supervisors are working, they just hired, or they're going to hire somebody to fill that role. We're working 228% given the size of the school district. So again, it's my hat off to the facilities team and the work that they're doing. This last one is utilities expenditure per student. This shows the fruit of all the work that the board has done on all these other schools. But we're only spending $1.27 per student for utilities, where the other school districts is here spending $1.53. So my hats are off to the system that they're doing, the buildings that they've been putting up. They're highly efficient, and as long as they're maintained, it's going to bear fruit and save money every year compared to what it could have been. So that's a great bonus. Some of the things that Gil had recommended here is that looking at an assistant facility director, I believe Dr. Mercier talked about that earlier today, and there's a handful of other positions that they thought they could use to help maintain the buildings. The one thing I would hear is see some service contracts that the board might consider looking at some of these service contracts to help with their staffing, to help one, maintain the buildings, make them as efficient as possible. That'll conclude the facility study.
Thank you. study. There will be no discussion. This was actually given during the facilities committee meeting last week, and we wanted to provide additional information to the community as we began to learn things from the facility study. The facility study, just to try to clarify a little bit, is a starting point for the administration to get a better handle on all of the buildings and to be able to manage and maintain everything going forward. This is not a menu from which we are preparing to select. Cedarbrook Middle School, Dr. Bobby.
Yes, Cedarbrook Middle School construction project update. On March 9th, we sent in notice to proceed to all the prime contractors, all four of them. On March 30th, all the contractor agreement were reviewed by our district attorney and sent back to all the prime contractor. All the utility has been disconnected to the Cedarbrook Middle School. The letter of the disconnect was sent to all the general contractor. On March 30th, we had a pre-construction meeting and with all the prime contractor, owner control insurance, OSIP representative, and all the testing agents. This concludes my report at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Bobby. We have an update from the United Parents Group.
Before I begin my UPG report, I just have to say one small thing back on the Cedarbrook recap. While my 14-year-old seemed to be too shy to come up and lead the Pledge of Allegiance, he's not his mother, it's okay. He is represented up here. He has no less than 3 pieces of art. And I just have to thank the board and our wonderful administration and our Cedarbrook Middle School for supporting the arts in our schools. Thank you very much. Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm happy to be here tonight and share what UPG has been up to in the past 2 months. It's been a whole lot. Our February 22nd general meeting encompassed everything a Cheltenham School District parent needs to know about testing in our schools. Mr. Gerald Amst and Mrs. Jean Roush gave an extremely comprehensive and informative presentation addressing all testing questions for all levels at all schools. We thank them for their time and expertise. And if anyone would like to see the PowerPoint, please let me know. Seriously, it's very, very informative. On Friday the 1st, UPG partnered with the district, CAAA, and the newly named SEEK, which is the Special Education Alliance of Cheltenham, and held a largely attended community potluck dinner that perfectly blended families, food, and fabulous conversations. Taking a moment to relax and reconnect with each other was a much-needed treat, and we hope to have more of these special times together in the future. Following the potluck, families moved to the Little Theater to view the documentary Beyond Measure, a film that challenges the assumptions of our current education story. The filmmakers pressed viewers to truly reconsider the greater purpose of education for our children, including the value of personal growth, inquiry, passion. There are schools out there all across this country that are attempting and achieving this revolution to place critical thinking, communication, exploration, experimentation, collaboration, and creativity at their core. We look forward to some of our own administration and teaching staff visiting such schools in the coming months as they begin to plan for CSD to pursue these ideas and possibilities. Last Monday night, UPG's general meeting featured our esteemed friends in education, Dr. Frederick Bryant and Lorraine Marino, who are expert diversity consultants. They have facilitated conversations around race and identity at UPG meetings the past 2 years, and we are always engaged and enthralled with their workshops. Attendees to the presentation continue to build skills on how we communicate across lines of difference with particular focus on race. As always, time flew by, and we hope to have Frederick and Lorraine back again very soon for more dialogue and learning. We have many upcoming events to share, including on our May 2nd general UPG meeting. It's going to be replaced with a special night of training for the new CSD website with our PTO leaders. Based on input from the last PTO leadership circle, UPG co-president Marion Winglin and I had an extremely productive meeting with district principals regarding how to improve communication for all Cheltenham families. With parent, teacher, and student input, the launch of our new district website, and a roundtable of considerate brainstorming school leaders, we are excited for much-needed improvements in the coming months, and this website training for accessing and utilizing each PTO's personal webpage is a great start. And finally, in mid-May, we are partnering, as usual, with administration and PTO parent leadership to assist with kindergarten registration process. You have to come. Any parent who'd like to come, please do. Join the fun. They are so cute. Just contact your school's PTO leadership, and we'll schedule you a volunteer slot. Thank you very much. And we still have more to come. It's not even June yet. Thank you.
This time we have an update from our student representatives.
Good evening, and thanks for having us. I'd just like to say, first of all, that you guys have us up way past our bedtime, so I'm exhausted, so thanks. First of all, student council elections coming up this month. These are actually the first student council elections we've held in the last 2 years, which is really exciting. Last year was all seniors, we ran with rising seniors. So we didn't get the chance to put it out to the student body, but this year we have a lot of applicants for positions. We have 6 different people running for 2 spots. We'll have some pretty competitive elections coming up the 21st and voting on the 22nd, so that's exciting. We have AP exams and Keystones coming up. At the beginning of May we have APs, and mid-May is Keystones. NHS is actually hosting a cram gym for our students for Keystones. In the past we did that for interns, but now we don't have official interns. We're going to do that for Keystones, and hopefully a lot of kids will take advantage of that. Spring sports are now underway, as I'm sure you know. Our track team is off to a great start. Baseball team is excited to be underway. And it's a really good start to the season, even with a lot of rainouts for a lot of teams. The blood drive is also coming up in April. This is student council sponsored event. April 22nd. And as always, that's going to be a really successful event. It's really popular with our students, and it's a great event for kids to come out to. Relay for Life is hosting their dodgeball fundraiser this coming Wednesday. After school, kids will compete for a chance to play dodgeball with their teachers, which I think will be exciting. And that's going to be a fundraiser for the actual Relay for Life event, which is May 21st, all day. There's going to be a walk around the track to raise money for cancer research, and also there are going to be performances and I think stuff sold around the track in a legal kind of way. It's kind of like Arts in the Park. So that'll be a really, really fun event come May, and it's going to be a great fundraiser.
Okay, so this past weekend was our Spring Fling Mr. Cheltenham pageant dance fun. It was fun, successful. We had 330 students, and we crowned our Mr. Cheltenham, Evan Ross. He was great, fantastic. He won unanimously. Robotics, like Dr. Marseille said, won the first competition, which is fantastic. We have our Spanish National Honor Society fundraiser, which students in SNHS sell nachos, the non-alcoholic sangria, to benefit a school in Nicaragua. And fun fact, it's on the same day as the blood drive, so hopefully people can go get their sugar, carbs, refuel. Very, very convenient planning there. We have Footloose for Lewis this weekend, so come out and enjoy that. And Ms. Parker sends out email blasts every Friday, so sign up if you haven't. Get great information about the high schools. It's really good stuff. I promise you.
Thank you. And lastly, a shout out to the boys over there with the really snazzy hats. They're really good.
Who are the boys over there wearing the snazzy hats?
The boys over there in snazzy hats are the members of the Cheltenham High School baseball team. They'll be sticking around to talk to you guys later. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for that update on the high school. Approval of treasurer's report. Do I have a motion for approval? Mr. Fishbein, Mr. Boyd, all in favor? the representative of Montgomery County Relief Unit. I just want to point out a couple things that are going on or have happened. We are part of MCIU, which encompasses 26 school districts in Montgomery County, and we meet on a monthly basis. Montgomery County Intermediate Unit was one of the organizations that did receive pre-K count funding from the state. There was a proposal for quite a large grant. It was cut. They are using the funds that were expanded, that were provided to MCIU, and they will be creating 100 slots for quality preschool education in Montgomery County. The MCIU, in order to fill a void in Montgomery County, is opening up an elementary partial hospitalization program. The previous hospitalization program for students with behavioral challenges had closed, and this will now provide space for children in need. And the MCIU budget was approved. This is quite an involved process. All member school districts have a vote on the budget, and it passed 146 ayes, 0 nays for funding in the next year. That's it for MCIU, and now we move to Eastern Center for Arts and Technology.
March the 9th, we had our joint committee board meeting. After approval, votes and approval of the standard items, we had a presentation from Eastern's business liaison, which presented his recommendations for the improvement of the continuing education program. Recommendations included looking to combine the strength of Eastern's state-of-the-art facility with the industry group for certification training. This combination enables a total workforce provider environment whereby students of continuing education may launch a new career or strengthen and advance current skill sets. Recommendations were made to offer a new fall 2016 welding certification preparation course, assess the launch of a new HVAC/R apprentice program, build upon the already successful electrical apprenticeship program, and offer a Pennsylvania auto safety and inspection program. All of those were presented to the board. Eastern is also sponsoring an employer appreciation event that's scheduled for June 2nd between 6:30 and 8:30 p.m. Additionally, two students from Eastern competed in a hands-on automotive technician skills challenge for more than $900,000 in scholarships, tools, and prizes, and the chance to compete on a national level. The 23rd Annual Automotive Technology Competition provides the opportunity for teams of the finest automotive technical students from Berks, Bucks, Chester, Delaware, Montgomery, and Philadelphia counties, as well as Southern New Jersey, to work this o'clock in a timed, hands-on automotive technical skills competition. Students tested their knowledge at 10 workstations and performed a pre-delivery inspection of a new vehicle. Those two students from the automotive technology program won first place. While they were not students from Cheltenham, one was from Heather Horsham, one was from Upper Dublin, I mention it because Eastern provides a really, really fine, strong program. And students, if you're listening, or parents, if you have children who may be interested in any of the programs that Eastern offers, I suggest you contact them, take your students to visit, and really take a look at what they have to offer, because they have a strong curriculum, they have really a state-of-the-art facility, and the students really do well when they come out of that program. That concludes my report. The next joint committee meeting is tomorrow evening at Eastern.
Thank you, Mrs.
Curry.
And now we'll move on to committee reports. Financial Affairs, Mr. Malloy.
Thank you, Mr. England. With the help of Mr. Michael, I'm going to show some of the first slides to help give everyone a visual picture of the numbers we're talking about, because they are big numbers. At last Tuesday's Financial Affairs meeting, focused on two topics: this year's budget and 2016-2017 budget. As far as this year's budget goes, We've been very fortunate as a school district in terms of the state's very long delay in improving their budget this year. A number of districts had to borrow money or lay off people in order to keep their doors open. We'd like to thank the citizens of Cheltenham for paying all your school taxes. As you can see, almost 100% have been collected. 80% of our budget depends on local taxes, and that collection rate really came in handy this year. We only recently got some money from the state. So far, we've gotten a little over 50% from the state, and that's their budgeted shares at $20 million. We received another $1.6 million from the state the first week of April. Ms. Michael is fairly confident that we will eventually get the majority of our state funds by June. The one set of funds we will not see are the Plantown funds. We were due $350,000 this year, but because of budget problems, we will not see that money. Now for a preliminary look at our 2016-2017 budget. The board and the administration promised that we would not go above the 2.4% state index in raising taxes this year. This is the problem for some of the things that bring in revenue at the top and things that drive up our expenditures. The board and the administration want to make Cheltenham School District great again, but this will cost money. Dr. Marseille has made a big push for increased professional learning and developing a strategic plan with the help of the staff, parents, and citizens. You're also aware of the tax burden on the citizens of Cheltenham. With that in mind, our recommendation for the proposed final budget is to move almost $900,000 from our fund balances to help fund next year's budget. The result of this decision has been a reduction in next year's tax increase from 2.4% to 1.3%. This decision will reduce the increase of a median house assessment from $1,285 a month to $6.96 per month. In other words, the increase will drop from $154 a year to $83.50 per year. I would like to thank the diligent efforts of the board and the administration for accomplishing this. Mostly, I would like to thank our business manager, Ms. Michael, for all our hard work in figuring out how to do this. We did not get the 0% increase, but we got pretty darn close. With that being said, I would like to inform everyone that next financial affairs meeting will be Tuesday, May 3rd, at room 119, following the facilities meeting. And everybody is always welcome. Thank you, and that concludes my report, Mr. Anglin.
Thank you, Mr. Roy.
And thank you, Ms. Martin.
Next, we have affairs. Ms. Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Anglin. That's a hard act to follow, but I'll try. So the Educational Affairs Committee met on March 15th, and after roll call and approval of the minutes, we first discussed the seasonal textbook renewal on request. Currently, the district uses a 2002 edition of Educational Literature in 7th and 3rd English classes, which right now is in first edition, possibly to replace, and is not aligned with the Common Core standards. Administration proposed that we replace that 2002 textbook with the 2012 edition. The board discussed the merits of doing that, and the 2012 edition will be used starting in the fall of 2016. Administration estimates that there'll be a 1 day of professional development associated with the use of the new textbook. But this new textbook, again, is closely aligned with the current standards, and the total cost of $34,778 to cover the textbook replacement is already included in our budget, as well as the 1 day of professional development. Next on the agenda was an adjustment to the 2015-2016 academic calendar. But as we all know, this year we didn't get as much snow, which is a good thing, as we only had at least one snow day this year. This meant that we could adjust the calendar to actually move back the last student day to June 23rd. from June 23rd to June 20th. It was the last staff day on June 23rd. As noted during the meeting, schools will be open on April the 26th, the day of the primary election, and administration assured us that the schools will be appropriately secure for the buildings that are polling locations. Next on the agenda was a discussion of the proposed 2016-2017 district calendar. As Dr. Marseille indicated earlier in the meeting, there was a group of both administrators and teachers who got together and parents as well to really discuss changes to the 2016-2017 calendar. As part of evaluating this change, Dr. Marseille shared that the changes to the calendar, including the proposed change of 2 days to observe Rosh Hashanah to 1 day, was in part based on having more student days and teacher development days. As part of the process that went into proposing changes to the calendar, again, we're not going to be voting on tonight, we're tabling, but provide some background on what went into the discussion. But Dr. Marseille met with two rabbis in the community to discuss this change to the proposed calendar. And while the rabbis expressed their desire to have 2 days of observance of Rosh Hashanah, there was a understanding of the reason for the proposed change and the request that the board, if we decided to move in that direction, that there be some flexibility in the calendar to make sure that no student or staff that observed Rosh Hashanah on the second day would be adversely impacted both on the academic side and for extracurricular activities. Right before spring break, Dr. Marseille did not share during his report. If you may recall, he did issue a notice to the community about this proposed calendar change. And again, this is not, it's on the agenda for tonight, but we're tabling them for the May legislative meeting. Next on the agenda was Panorama EDU, which is an online survey tool that was presented to the board. The district currently uses SurveyMonkey and Google Forms to collect survey data. These survey tools have significant limitations with varying degrees of reliability and do provide an opportunity to analyze the survey results in a comprehensive and meaningful way. In order to collect meaningful data as we go forward with our strategic plan, administration has proposed that we engage with Panorama EDU to really help facilitate those more comprehensive survey on the students. The respective surveys are geared towards both teachers, parents, and students and can be customized, come with an opportunity to be offered in about 30 different languages, and also are listed and customized to elicit feedback on classroom experience, engagement, perception data, professional learning communities, school fit, school climate. We had an opportunity to review some of the survey questions that could be customized, and we were informed that this would interface with our student profile and would cost about $10,500 a year. Last on the agenda was an update which we have every month on the strategic plan. On March the 3rd, the strategic plan and pathway teams met for a 3-hour session and finalized pathway goals, SMART objectives, year one tasks, and metrics. On March the 9th, the leadership team had a full-day retreat to synthesize, edit, and plan the upcoming planning sessions. On March the 17th, the curriculum and instruction, communications, and engagement pathway teams also met. The work of these teams, all of these teams, is being currently consolidated and will be further refined by the leadership team and presented to the board on May the 17th at the Outback Fairs. The next Ed Affairs meeting is on April the 19th at 6:30 in room 119. This is a public meeting and all welcome. That's me, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Haywood. And are there any action items this month?
The only action item, no, there is not with respect to the calendar's work, too. Thank you.
Facilities, Mr. Cohen.
Yes, thank you. The Facilities Committee met on April 5th, 2016, and The sole agenda item was a slightly longer version of the presentation that was made tonight by KCB Architects on Facility Master Plan. The next Facilities Committee meeting is scheduled for May 3rd at 7 p.m. in room 119. And briefly, I just want to thank KCB and their team for a job well done with the plan, and hope that it serves as a basis moving forward to make decisions with facilities so that we can move forward and improve school district with newer facilities and address some long-standing problems with tree buildings that need to be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Liaison committee, I chair that committee. The committee is comprised of representation from the school district and the township commissioners and staff at both locations. We have not met since the last legislative meeting. This is a public meeting and all are invited to attend. The next meeting will be held on Monday, May 16th, 8 a.m. in the township building. And personnel committee, Mr. Nelson.
Thank you very much. The personnel committee last met on Tuesday, April 5th at 8:30 in the morning. We had generally about three items on the agenda outside of roll call and approving of minutes. Two were in information sessions. One was just a preview of the org chart and the administrative changes that Dr. Marseille laid out at the beginning of this meeting. Another was just our monthly update on the state of grievances filed against the district. And then finally, in public session, we reviewed the interviewing and hiring practices of the district, especially in light of what we know to be administrative changes and what you'll find shortly of new positions being posted. So for the interviewing practices, we are, one, delighted to know that we have relatively strong and diverse hiring throughout the district in both all of our marketing positions, as well as obviously our administrative ranks. So we continue to be very proud of the work that's being done to make sure that our district and our classroom resemble our community. We are a very active recruiting process, and I know that this is a fairly active time for all of our administrators. So thank you to those, both administrators as well as teachers, who take their time to represent Cheltenham to future potential employees. And I thank you all for the wonderful face that you certainly show to all of those graduating students and other prospective hires. Finally, we talked about both the heavily building-based hiring decisions that exist, as well as the interview questions and rubrics that are often used as part of the interviewing process. One particular note that I'd like to make is that we've now included not only that rubric, but look fors, plugs for those who are doing the interviewing process to make sure that the answers that they are getting from those candidates really resemble what we know to be kind of leading pedagogy and not just answers that really sound good. So we're making sure that not only are we providing thorough, really great assessments of our applicants, but we're also, along with that, doing a little bit of training and just ensuring that we're consistent and well-informed of what it is that we're listening to. So having gone through this process with a couple of superintendents, I can certainly appreciate the importance of ensuring that all who are making these important decisions know what to look for. So very, very encouraging to me and to members of the board as we continue to move through this path of ensuring the appropriate staffing throughout our district and administration. We do not yet have the date set for our next personnel committee meeting. When we do, we will certainly post it and keep you all informed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. And Policy Committee, Ms. Hedwig.
Policy Committee, we met on March 31st at 7 p.m. And again, after roll call approval of the minutes on February 25th, we addressed a whole business, which include four policies that are going to be presented this evening from first to fourth. The first is policy 510, addressing overtime. This policy was presented a second time for the Policy Committee's consideration based on revisions that were requested by the BEC after the initial first reading. Policy 510 and the company AR establish guidelines and procedures for approval and payment for overtime. Next, as a first read, is Policy 304, 404, and 504, entitled Resignation by Employees and Related AR. These policies collectively apply to administrative, professional, classified employees, and were brought as revised based on comments made at the February Policy Committee meeting. This policy and the accompanying AR formalize the process for the superintendent to accept resignations without board approval to facilitate replacement of individuals throughout the school year. The accompanying AR policy 219 covering the student complaint process is also being presented this evening for first reading. The last policy that's being presented this evening for first read is the transgender and gender nonconforming students policy 258. This is a policy that was put in place in response to litigation with another school district, but actually now it's law. And we have this policy in place to address that and to make sure that we have equal opportunity for all students in our school district, regardless of gender, gender identity, and gender expression. Based on the comments of the last policy committee meeting related to some approaches to address some of the practical approaches to addressing different requests for making sure that everyone has equal opportunity, the committee discussed some of these changes, and we're bringing this forward tonight for first reading. Being brought forward for second read tonight are policy 001, name and classification. And that is a policy that we presented to the policy committee probably two meetings ago. We're waiting for the Department of Education approval of formally our name change to Cheltenham's school district. But this is being brought forward for second reading. As we go forward to amend and revise our policies, we will now be referring to ourselves as Cheltenham School District, which is much shorter and easier to use. The second policy being brought forward this evening is policy 303, 403, and 503. And that's employment of administrative professional classified employees and companies are. Again, these were ratified based on comments that were made during the personnel committee probably 2 weeks ago that permit ratification of emergency hires by the superintendent. It also consolidates policies 303, 404, and 504, which was previously called entitled the same thing. I'd like to move policy 303, 403, and 503 for second.
So
is there a second?
Let's call the aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, then I'd like to also move policy 001, name and classification for second.
So moved.
Second.
Call the aye.
Aye. Okay, likewise, there's a sample policy, a new policy, 360, 460, 560, 860, and a related AR concerning maintaining appropriate boundaries to students. This again was presented for first read to the policy committee. It's not being presented this evening for consideration, but I wanted to share that was one additional policy. Thank you for coming to that again. Discussed during the last policy committee. The next policy committee meeting will be on April the 20th, 8:30, and room 119.
Thank you, Ms. Haley. Don't go far. Legislative update. Ms. Haley.
Okay, I'm not going to go far. I'll just change my So on April the 8th, the Montgomery County Immediate Unit hosted 2016 legislative breakfast. elected officials, including Senator Ron Hayward, Representative Steve from Carter, Madeline Dean, Kate Harper, board members and superintendents from surrounding school districts who are in attendance. After a welcome introduction by Dr. John George, the executive director of the NCIB, Dr. James Crisfield, superintendent, provided an overview of the impact of back-end referendums. Dr. Crisfield was followed by Mr. Frank Gallagher, Saracen's area school district superintendent, who shared his perspectives on the need for charter school reform. Then participants had an opportunity to at the tables to speak with their elected officials about concerns facing their respective school districts. It was a very robust and open discussion. Of course, of great importance is the state budget for 2015-2016, and while we know that that has been adopted, there still is some issues in terms of how the money is distributed.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.